but you gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey, you gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey, I know it's hard. Pockets kicking these rocks, it's kind of hard to watch this.
Good evening and welcome to the Carolyn Holt Show. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. We have a lot to talk about today. You know, today is President's Day. It's a day to, I guess, honor men who have led our country. I guess we're still waiting to be able to say that a woman has led our country, but we don't know where that's going. we're still kind of figuring that all out. But I want to thank you for joining me. If you'd like to be part of the conversation tonight, you can feel free to call us at area code 323-293-3375. Again, that's area code 323-293-3375, and join in the conversation, because we still have Dr. James Key with us, and tonight we're going to talk a little bit about honor from his new book, A Long Way from Crenshaw, Stories and Lessons on Race, Love, Honor, and Faith. Now, last week we talked about love, and I tell you, I got a lot of feedback from you, so I appreciate that, so thank you so much. And Dr. James, are you there?
Yes, Carol.
How are you?
Doing well.
Good
to be back with you this evening.
Good. It's a pleasure to have you back. And I can't wait to talk about something that, you know, it seems it doesn't exist anymore, and that's honor. Well, it's an honor to talk to you about honor, because it's one of those, I guess, traditional, old-fashioned concepts that people have kind of forgotten about. But I want to thank you for reviving it and bringing it back to the lexicon and talking about it. So what's the good word that you have about honor tonight?
Well, Carolyn, I think you hit it right on the head. I think honor certainly is a word that I hope we don't lose the definition of.
Yes.
It's really about holding one in high esteem and holding one with a certain level of great respect.
Yes.
And in the society that we live in today, you know, we're in a hurry up, a microwave, an instant coffee, and sometimes that's not soon enough, generation and age. We got to stop and pause and give honor to those who deserve it. And so certainly the first place to start is within our own families, just to really honor those in our family who paved the way, whose shoulders we're standing on. We're celebrating Black History Month, and so there are individuals in every family. In every family, you can find somebody that deserves great honor. Someone who made tremendous sacrifices. Someone who gave the little they had in order to educate a child or a niece or a nephew or a grandchild. So we've got to start first by honoring individuals within our own family. Secondly, we've got to pause and honor those in our community. They're people, the unsung heroes, if you will.
Yes.
The old folk in the community, the folk who kept watch over us when mother or father weren't around, or perhaps maybe you grew up in a single-parent household. There was some old person, some elderly person, some senior saint who made sure you, your friends, or whomever didn't get in trouble. And you don't read about don't show up in on anyone's who's list. But you know who they are, I know who they are, and your listeners know who they are. They deserve honor as well.
Yes.
And then for me, it's also important to honor those who stood in harm's way so that we can live a free life, if you will. Especially in light of Black History Month, we've got to continue to lift up those African-American men and women who served in the military. And let me be clear, African-Americans have served in every war since the inception of our nation.
Yes.
When times were good and when times weren't so well, we served. When we were considered three-fifths of a human being, we served. When we had to deal with post-slavery, we served. During the Jim Crow era, we served. During the turbulent 60s, we served, and we serve today. So honor, in my view, we've really got to look at it, examine it in those areas, and certainly you can look at it a whole number of other ways as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, I appreciate informing us about the complexities of honor, because it's not just a word that represents just one aspect of life. It crosses a lot of lines. And you were mentioning about brave men and women who've served our country and led in a different way other than the presidency, and that's in terms of war and in terms of the military. And I'd like to say thank you for your service, because you are a chaplain in the United States military. And I tell you, I just want to thank you for doing what you do and working with young soldiers and building them up, because I know that's not an easy job, but I appreciate what you've done.
Well, I appreciate that, Carolyn, and I'm honored every day to serve with America's best, the best that America has to offer in terms of those who say, I will serve and put on the uniform and go to dangerous places and stand in harm's way so that those of us, the rest of our nation, can enjoy the freedom of, you know, liberty that we so cherish. So I'm privileged and I'm honored to serve with a great group of men and women.
Yes.
In the United States Army.
And the other aspect I'd like for you to talk a little bit about is in terms of family, because you had someone in your family that everybody loved, and that was Sweetie Pie. And Sweetie Pie, I tell you, was quite a woman. And so if you would just share a little bit about Sweetie Pie and the wonderful place that she held in your family.
Well, thank you for mentioning Sweetie Pie, who would have almost made it to 101 years young.
Yes.
And I think in every family, there's a Sweetie Pie. There is someone in the family who's the matriarch, or the patriarch, if you will. For us, the matriarch was Sweetie Pie. And a lot of what I do today is a direct reflection of some of the rules she instilled in myself and other cousins and brother and sister about just treating people the way you would want to be treated. Those are in this new book I'm working on. There's a introduction, and I deal with some of Sweetie Pie's rules that we learn to live by.
Uh-huh.
One, of course, treat others as you would want to be treated.
Yes.
If you look nice, you should be nice. In other words, if you believe you look nice both on the outside and on the inside, then act that way.
Okay.
Pray before you leave the house. And that was something that was very important to her, the power of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Pray before you walk out of that house, because you never know. You may not make it home.
Right.
And her rules and being intentional about making sure we understood who Jesus Christ was, and we were grounded in faith, for us, Christianity, all of those things help shape who I am today. And so my theology, my perspective on life is connected to her rules, her upbringing, as well as, you know, the influence of my mother and father and aunts and uncles as well. But Sweetie Pie was an individual. I remember one day talking to her about, she was talking about, I don't know if I've accomplished much, you know, in this life. And I quickly just reminded her of some of the things I thought she did that were extraordinary, that were great. Being a foster parent, bringing kids into her home who had tough upbringing, and she raised them the same way she would raise her own grandchildren and children.
Yes.
And she is, in my view, you know, one of my favorite unsung heroes. When we talk about people of honor, it's easy to talk about the big name folk. We can talk about Rosa Parks, and we should, because she certainly was the spark that ignited the civil rights movement. We should talk about Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman, Dr. King, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, and others.
Yes.
But there are heroes and sheroes within our own family who deserve a special shout out, who deserve honorable mention. And to the extent that we can lift up those individuals and not just lift them up, but teach the younger generation within our own respective families about these individuals, then we know their memory will live and last and certainly have an impact on the younger generation and generations yet to come.
Yes. Well, I know that Sweetie Pie was certainly one of those individuals, and she had such a zest and zeal for life. I remember Sweetie Pie, I think when she was either 98 or 99, I remember seeing her dance. So Sweetie Pie was quite a woman. And it is obvious when the family talks about her, what wonderful person she was, what a giving person she was, and what an honorable woman she was.
Yes.
You know, it can be a challenge sometimes to just hear what people of wisdom have to say. But she had a way, from what I understand about the family, she had a way of speaking to you, and you were definitely impacted by the way she spoke to you. And whatever it was that she was trying to get you to do, you could understand that. So we applaud her, and we honor her in your memory, James, for being a fine example of Sweetie Pie's family. We're going to go to break, but when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion on honor.
A hero lies in you.
Welcome back. This is the Carolyn Holt Show. And if you would like to join our conversation tonight on honor, we're talking about honoring many different aspects, honoring family, honoring service. So if you have a comment or a story, please feel free to share it with us at area code 323-293-3375. Again, that's area code 323-293-3375. And tonight I have Dr. James Key, and he's talking about honor. And Dr. Key, you mentioned earlier about honor and family. And,
yes.
You know, there is, there's a lot of families out there headed by females, single females, and many of them have sons that they're raising, and you know, they want to do the best they can. What would you say would be some of the things for them to consider in terms of, because honor is very relevant to masculinity, and so what would you offer the single family mom out there who's raising a son, what would you offer her in terms of some ways to instill honor and integrity in her son?
Sure. I think, first of all, you know, I just want to honor all the single parent moms who are raising young boys, and that's an awesome task, an awesome responsibility, and we see it happening just all over the country and certainly in different places of the world. And you know, I think the first thing I was blessed, you know, to be raised by my mother and a single parent household, and I can only, you know, look at some of the things I know that my mother certainly was intentional about. One was making sure that I spent quality time with my father, and that happened every weekend during the week. I had access to him and got a chance to engage him and spend weekends and even during the week with him. That's important. If there is a father who is in arm's reach and who's in the picture, then it's important for that child to be connected to that father.
Yes.
If not, then there's certainly other males in the family who can step in and play a significant role, whether they're uncles or a grandfather or an older cousin. And certainly you've got to be you know, find individuals who are willing to accept that role and be intentional about making a connection with those individuals as well. Organizations, I was involved, even in, growing up in the Crenshaw District, I was involved in the Boy Scouts, the Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts. And so there were Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts in the hood, and had an opportunity to participate in that. Little League baseball, anything that allowed me to come in contact with other men in the community, whether it was at the recreation park or in a some type of organization. I found these organizations and individuals to be extremely influential. Mm-hmm. And so that's important too. Making sure too that your son, since we're talking about young men, is connected to the faith of the family. I think faith is very important, and so have to be really intentional about making sure there is some connection to the church, to faith, so that there's a spiritual growth that's also taking place. Now, while the son is growing up and becoming a teenager and ultimately a young man, you want spiritual growth to take place as well. Right. And I wouldn't rule out mentorship programs also are very important. Mentorship.
Okay, Dr. James, hold your thought because we have a caller, so hold your thought. We'll get back to you momentarily. Yes. Hi, caller.
Hi, what a wonderful discussion. And I just wanted to ask, when you're trying to convey honor to, like, our generation, and just we're so exposed to so much information, mm-hmm. how do you kind of put honor in a context in such a fast-paced culture like we live in?
Okay, your question is how to put honor into a, say that again?
How do you contextualize honor when everything in our society moves so fast?
Mm-hmm.
Does honor get lost?
Yes. Okay. Well, Dr. James, do you want to tackle that first, and then I'll...
I think the caller for the question, a very good question. And I think you're right. I think we live in a reality TV time period. We live, the technology that we have at our fingertips today is awesome, exciting. And in the process, there are some things that get lost in the sauce, if you will. And one of those things, I think, is honor. And I think we have to step back. We're moving so fast, and we're going from point A to point B now at jet-like speed. And we have to be intentional about to just stop, to slow down, and resurrect some of the ingredients of yesterday that produced honorable people in our family and society. And we have to have teaching moments and talk about honor. Talk about what that means. And, you know, I said this earlier, because there are wonderful examples you can flush out in your own family or community. And be intentional, and don't wait until a young person is, a teenager or a young adult. We've got to do it when a child is starts to walk and talk and begin to introduce this concept, this word, honor, and everything that's associated with it to the young people in our community. And as adults, we have to, have conversation about honor. Let's get back to yesterday when life didn't move so fast. And let's talk about men and women of honor who help shape our family and help shape this country. So to answer the caller's question in a nutshell, we've got to talk about it, but more than just talk about it, we've got to be about it. That our audio must match our video. And the way to do that is to do what we're doing right now, to really talk about the word honor, flesh it out, give examples of it, and then try to live our lives in an honorable way.
Okay, are you still there, caller? Okay, I really appreciate you mentioning the audio and the video matching, Dr. Key, because when our children see television and they see images of people doing dishonorable things, I think that gets more airtime than honor. And so sometimes it might be difficult for them to judge.
Yeah. Well, honor on some level, is the sex appeal of honor. It's not a sexy word.
That's true.
What sells on television is drama and confusion. And it's not to say that, you know, life is drama. I'm not delusional and naive to think that drama isn't a part of life or confusion isn't a part of life, because it is.
Yes.
But what seems to be the, you know, the flavor of the month now, been the flavor of the year for the last few years, it's really kind of the reality TV movement. And in those programs, you see a lot of drama. I don't know if you see a lot of honor. Maybe you do, and maybe some of your callers will call in and say, well, no, there's some reality TV shows that are honorable. Even in this presidential election, you know,
yes,
try to find something honorable that our politicians are doing. Right now, they spend a lot of time tearing each other down during the primary season. That's politics, and that seems to be the rule of engagement or the order of the day. But so where is the honor? You know, where's the honor in this political campaign season? Where's the honor, in our community? And do we still have examples of it? The short answer is yes, we do. And if the TV, if television doesn't talk about it, if radio doesn't talk about it, we still have to talk about it. And we still have to make sure we uplift. In Black History Month, this is a time to do that. But we've got to go beyond Black History Month and do it every opportunity we get. I had the pleasure several years ago to meet Alex Haley before he passed away. Maybe about 2 weeks. I was working on Capitol Hill at the time, and for Congresswoman Maxine Waters. And I was at a reception, and lo and behold, there was Alex Haley standing alone at a reception eating finger food, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And I was so excited to see him. Obviously, his groundbreaking book, Roots, as well as the miniseries, was fascinating. And so I walked up to him and I talked to him, because as far as I was concerned, he's certainly a man of honor.
Yes.
And he talked about family. He talked about the importance of spending time with the oldest person in your family and just staying connected to family. And I met a lot of interesting people, but meeting Alex Haley, someone of his stature, someone of his class, and someone who boldly put the African American story on the silver screen, so to speak,
yes,
and documented it in
and
a
made
book.
It relevant again. Yes,
that's right. That was that's why I believe, you know, something, what he did benefited not just Black people, but people of all races and creeds. And it challenged everyone to step back and examine their own family tree. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, honor is an important word, and the caller is correct. You're correct, Carolyn, in that I wonder if we're losing the meaning of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about honor, but it's nonsense to talk about honor and then turn around and do dishonorable things. Nobody can acquire honor by doing what is wrong. And so we have to make sure that we spend time looking at ourselves in the mirror, making the adjustments that we need to make, and do everything we can to live honorable lives.
Well, that's true, especially to the caller's point, when you have children, because you know, they watch everything that we do. We may not think that they see us on many occasions, but they watch everything. So as you said, we have to be intentional in our instruction and intentional in the way we live before them, because children pick up everything. And when you think perhaps it's just a little thing or a little lie that you're telling or whatever it is, they take notice. So in parenting, it's a very challenging job, but one of the things that we must always know is that our children are watching, and that's just how they learn and how they operate. And so if our behavior does not look honorable in their eyes, sometimes they will let us know. So one of the ways is that you just have to be consistent in your teaching and be intentional, because while they may appear to not be listening and paying attention, they are, and they do.
Yes.
So, and it is difficult to navigate those waters, you know, because I think most people, it is their desire to be a good parent, but sometimes it's hard to gauge whether you're being good or not. But your children can tell on you, so. The steps are to be intentional. Now, before the caller, you were talking about, you were sharing some information with us that I'd like for you to continue with.
Okay, and so I think you'd asked the question about ways that
single
parent mothers can. Things that they can do to make sure that their sons in particular grow up in a certain way that will lead to grow up to be honorable young men.
Yes.
and fathers. And so, you know, it starts at a young age. I just talked about just making a connection with the men in the family, whether it's the father or other men. If the father is not in the picture, then identify other men who can be role models. The second part of that is to make sure that men have to step up to the plate as well. Mm-hmm. And it takes a village to raise a child. And so men have to step up. There are a lot of wonderful organizations that are doing exciting things, whether it's fraternities who are doing exciting things in terms of male mentorship programs. 100 Black Men do exciting things as well in this area. An organization I belong to, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, as well as the other fraternities, do exciting things to help mentor young boys in the community. But it doesn't stop there. I felt like when I was growing up, I mean, everybody was involved. Even the gardener in our community, Mr. Smoot, had something to say if he saw me doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this about Mr. Smoot, you know. Here's someone who didn't have a college education or high school education, as far as I know, who worked as a janitor for one of the big companies. It may have been McDonnell Douglas. Cut lawns on the side. And always had, was always ready to do a little preaching to my brother and I, or friends who would be at my house. And we didn't pay a lot of attention to Mr. Smoot. But then one day, he caught me by surprise. You know, we saw him cutting the front lawn. We tried to sneak out the back door so we didn't have to hear one of his sermons. Because we thought, well, what is it? What can he tell me that would be of use?
Right.
So, you know, youth is sometimes can be a terrible thing. There are, you know, my lonesome brilliance, I didn't think there was anything he could contribute to my development as a young man. And one day, with tears in his eyes, he's talking to my brother and I, and he looked at my brother, who was a student at USC at the time, and said, when you graduate from USC, get your diploma, that's my degree, too. And he looked at me, at that time I was a senior at Dorsey High, and he said, when you graduate from Dorsey High with your diploma in hand, that's my diploma too, that your success is my success, your failure is my failure. And he said, society, well, his exact words, well, he said, society may not get any better, you've got to get better. You've got to get better. And those words still haunt me today. Mm-hmm. Even when I feel like giving up or slowing down, his words haunt me, make me push a little harder, make me not give up, but get up again and again and again, because I'm representing not just myself, but the unsung hero and heroes in the community that produced me, individuals like Mr. Smoot. In my opinion, he deserves honorable mention because not because of the amount of money he made and didn't make much, but not because of any awards or accolades he received in his life, but because he paused and took time to talk to young people in his community, and he tried to give something back. And that's honor. And we ought to have reality shows about those individuals, reality shows about people who sacrifice much so that others will have something to hold on to. We ought to have reality shows that uplift the kings and queens in our community who are busy every day doing good work. You know, Rosa Parks was an ordinary person who did an extraordinary thing.
Right.
And most of the people in the civil rights movement, when we get beyond the big name of Martin King and Andrew Young and John Lewis, Fannie Lou Hamer, there are a host of unknown individuals, students and church folk and people from various backgrounds who participated in the movement. They were ordinary people who did something extraordinary. They gave their time, energy, and money in order to break down the wall of injustice. Those are honorable people that we can't forget about.
Right. Well, you know, it's a good thing when you mention about people from all backgrounds and all races have contributed. And the sad part is that these are not household names. While household names, I guess, are important because I guess you get to know who was at the forefront. But the important thing is that, as you said, just ordinary individuals deciding that they're going to do what is honorable in the moment. Because Rosa Parks, I'm sure she didn't plan to do what she did and have the effect that she did on the civil rights movement. But that's what happened. And I guess it's important for young people to know, like I said, even though you may not hear the word in everyday conversation, it still has value and it still has merit. And it's important that even though it's not on reality TV, you probably won't find much honor in reality TV, you can still aspire to be an honorable person, even though you don't see much of it, perhaps in with your peers or with in your circle of friends or perhaps on in media. But that has nothing to do with you as an individual. And so maybe honor is one of those individual characteristics that we have, and that we're responsible for caretaking it. So,
That's true. That's true. And, you know, honor is, it's a tough word. I mean, it requires much. The misconception is that one might think to be an honorable person means you have to be a perfect person. Well, there's no such thing as a perfect person. Perfect individuals just don't exist, not in this world. So honor is a challenging word, and it requires a lot on some level because it challenges you to to live a life that with a certain level of respect and integrity. And so in the world we live in, that may not be the most exciting kind of life to live. People want a little bit more excitement, and I understand that. We all want excitement and to enjoy life. And I'm not suggesting that you have to be honored, to be an honorable person doesn't mean you have to live a boring life, minus without any type of excitement.
Mm-hmm.
You can walk and chew gum at the same time. But yeah, it does challenge you and me to take an introspective look at ourselves,
mm-hmm,
constantly. And for virtues that you find missing, you know, you've got to try to make the necessary corrections. And it does hold you accountable on some level. If my goal is to live an honorable life, then yeah, there is a certain amount of pressure I've got to put on myself to make sure I live that kind of life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the young folk like to say, and I like to consider myself a young person too, you know, are you about that life? And well, what kind of life are you about?
Uh-huh.
A life that's about imitating others? Are you about the life that lacks leadership, that mm-hmm, you're kind of a flunky? You go the way the wind blows? When we say the word, are you about that life, the phrase, are you about that life, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the life I want to be about is a life that's honorable. And
yes,
and that's a challenging thing to live up to.
Yes.
But it's worth it. Every now and then I go back, Carolyn, and I revisit the story in the Bible about the Good Samaritan.
Okay.
And I revisit that story, and I revisit the whole notion of, you know, a wounded person on the road, and the priest and Levite see the wounded person on the road, and they both walk past the person who's wounded, who needs help.
Right.
Walk past this individual. Maybe they were in a rush to get to the worship service, or in a rush to get to a meeting, or in a rush to go shopping, or in a rush to go visit a friend. Whatever the case is, they were too busy to stop.
Right.
But then Samaritan.
Dr. Key, okay, we want to go to break, but I want you to hold your thought, because this is a great story and I love it, and we'll resume after the break. Is everything okay?
Looking back through time, we are in debt to the leaders. Angels of mercy, everyone. Good folks who believe there was no good and evil. Fought long and hard until the battles all were won. Heroes make the sunrise in the morning. Heroes make the moon shine bright at night. Heroes make our lives a little stronger in the soul of every. Can be found. Give us an anchor or a rock to lean on, a captain to take us through the storm. What makes a soldier ride alone into battle?
Can anybody tell me where he's coming from? He's that stranger on the street. He's that child that's at your feet, searching for freedom and justice.
And welcome back to the Carolyn Holt Show. You can feel free to join our conversation tonight. Tonight we're talking about honor in various aspects of our lives. And we have Dr. James Key joining us. And he was sharing with us the story of the Good Samaritan before the break. So we're going to ask him to resume his story so we can hear what he has to add.
Sure, Carolyn. And I'll just sum it up. I was just really talking about it. You know, every now and then I go back and I like to read that story about the parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus talked about in Luke, the 10th chapter. Mm-hmm. And because it's here that we see a man of honor stepping up to the plate. Okay. And here there's a man, obviously, who's been in the story, as the story goes, an individual had been robbed and wounded by a robber, and the priest sees this person, and instead of doing something to help this individual out, he crossed on the other side and kept on about his business. The Levite did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Samaritan comes along, who's despised by many people because they are what we would define today as kind of a mixed, a person who's a mixed race, if you will, and the Samaritans were looked down upon, mm-hmm, by the Hebrew people, by a lot of folk. And the Samaritan, the one who you least expect, stepped up, the one you least expect to step up to the plate, did exactly that. The Levite said, you know, in substance, if I don't stop to help this person, who will? And so the Samaritan is the one who stopped, who helped this individual, who made sure this individual got the care that he needed, and reached in his pocket and put this person up, you know, in a hotel and paid the fee. Where are these individuals today? They exist. Someone says, well, no, people like that don't exist anymore. I disagree. Because they're individuals, they're good Samaritans who are out there doing this kind of stuff every single day. We just don't hear about it or talk about it enough. But the good Samaritans are out there.
Yes, they are. And you know, the other good thing about the story, because honor is generally tied to reputation. And the thing about the good Samaritan was that his reputation never even came into play. He was just doing what was right in the moment.
That's right.
And if you're going to entertain being an honorable person, many times that's all it is as things come to you, you react, and hopefully you react appropriately, not just for yourself, but just for the greater good. And that's a universal lesson. That's just not for here in America, where things can look very unclear sometimes. That's all over the world. When an opportunity is presented to you to do what's right and do the honorable thing and be a person of courage and integrity, take it.
You're absolutely right, Carolyn. Doing what's right, you know, in that particular moment, when you have an opportunity to do the right thing, to seize the moment and do it.
Yes.
And you're absolutely correct.
Yes.
And that's the kind of generation of young people that we've got to continue to produce. And that's the kind of spirit we've got to continue to instill in our current generation.
Yes. Well, you know, You're right about that, but I want young people to understand that many times you're not going to see people behaving in the right way. That's a given. but that has nothing to do with you as an individual. And yeah. While it might sound as if we are, you know, we're out of the loop and we're not hip and we don't know what's going on, that's not true. We do know what's going on, and we are here to help you along those areas in life, because we've had some of those issues come before us, and we've had to make some decisions. And I know with young people, it's hard because they value their friends. You know, friends are very important to them, and it's very hard for them to stand out. Many times they acquiesce to things that they know that they shouldn't, because they just want to fit in. But as the mom asked earlier that called, in order to understand or see honor in action, it requires you adjusting your behavior on the fly.
That's correct.
And peer pressure, I know, is very strong, and it's important that you have friends. I understand that. But sometimes, my mother used to always say, well, if your friends are jumping off the bridge, are you going to jump with them?
And
often I had to think about that, because I did have some friends that were doing some things that were interesting and perhaps they should not have been doing. And I may have been doing some things that I should not have been doing as well. But I did hear my parents, because I know that, you know, they were serious and they were not to be played with. And as I said, because reputation is tied to honor, I knew that I was going to hear about it and feel it in the event that I made decisions just to fit in. So I would say to the young people, yes, it is hard. It's not easy. And we do see many examples of people not behaving in an honorable way, but that has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the good news is that every day, all of us, no matter what, no matter, you know, our age or race or religion, every day we all get an opportunity, or at least there's the potential opportunity to do something honorable.
Yes.
And so, and that's exciting in that this is something everybody can participate in.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, you know, can do something positive and can do something that will help someone else out, make a life better. We all have an opportunity to do something honorable, to help someone in need. And that's the kind of spirit that we've got to make sure that we bring about, that we, you know, that we talk about. I'd like to hear more of that in our political discussions. We talk about making, you know, our nation a more perfect union.
Yes.
And in order to make it a more perfect union, we have to step back a little bit and look at words like honor. And the caller earlier was absolutely correct. We've got to pause and really look at our priorities and going forward, what are some of the things we need to do to make our nation, you know, better than it is today. And one of them is making sure we bring this word honor back into the discussion and lift up those heroes and sheroes of yesterday who did honorable things, and recognize those individuals today who are doing honorable things, and train this current generation to be excellent young men and women so that tomorrow they can do honorable things. All of us can do something great. Dr. King liked to say that you know, everyone can serve. So it's not exclusive to a certain group of people. He would say everyone can be great because everyone can serve.
Right.
So when you serve, you're doing something great.
Yes. Well, you know, Dr. King, you know, you talk about honor. Dr. King was a very young man when he, I guess, took up the challenge to be the face of the civil rights movement. And he was very intelligent. And I have to applaud him because here he was, a 26-year-old, making decisions and being the face of people who were at least in many cases three times his age. And so to step out and show leadership and be a leader and understand that perhaps the cause was even bigger than his life.
Yes.
Because and it is, I know that it is hard to put your life on the line. I certainly understand that. I'm not so sure I could have been Dr. King, but he was famous for saying that any man who has not found something to die for isn't fit to live. And I know as especially with young people listening, that's just not what they want to hear. What do you mean, you know, give up my life and give up my fun for a noble cause? But sometimes you can lead in spite of what your age is, and he was a shining example of that.
That's correct. And I think it's important to point out, too, that, you know, most of our, most of the major movements that take place, that have taken place in the United States and around the world, if you will.
Yes.
The energy has always been, the movement has always been driven by young people.
Yes.
The civil rights movement was really a young people's movement. Mm-hmm. The Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee that John Lewis was a part of, who now serves in Congress, and CORE, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference that King started, the foot soldiers on the battlefield were young people, even kids in elementary school. We lost four beautiful young queens in Alabama who were killed one Sunday morning.
Yes.
Even in, if we look at the issue of war and who's on the battlefield,
right.
young people are on the battlefield in the foxhole, representing small towns and big cities and suburbs and black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Native American, Christian, Jew, Muslim.
Yes. Young.
And so the forefront of many movements in our great nation, at the forefront, leading the charge, we find young people.
Yes.
This is why it's so important, you know, to remind, and even today, we look at the Black Lives Matter movement, that's a, you know, young people are leading that charge.
Yes.
A few years ago, it was the Arab Spring in the Middle East. There were young people who said, you know, enough is enough. Well, we're tired of dictatorship, and we're going to do something about it.
Yes.
In the late 80s, in Tiananmen Square in China, young people on the battlefield standing in front of tanks. The apartheid movement in South Africa, young people, again, saying enough is enough.
Right.
And so Jesus Christ, if you will, you know, the young man.
Yes.
The young man, when he started his ministry.
Well,
so,
that's the real message. And we just thank you for writing a book that talks about a subject that's perhaps based on tradition, but still relevant today. I hear a lot about people asking, well, is honor, is that something that's still relevant? Yes, it is. And I appreciate the fact that you've included it in your book, because it's not often talked about, but it should be. And we just thank you so much for being our guest and for bringing such a worthy subject to our minds. So we thank you. You have a wonderful night, and we will talk next week about faith.
Thanks so much.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought we were all done, but I guess, okay. Well, thank you so much and good night.
Hey, yo. I remember Marvin Gaye used to sing to me. He had me feeling like black was the thing to be. And suddenly the kettle